Hey, everybody. This is Shane McCormick from the Cheap Home Grow podcast. On today's show, we have Mark Emmelman, the founder and CEO of Green Carpet Growing. In this podcast episode, Mark was kind enough to tell us about what a new home grower should and shouldn't do when growing their own. Mark also talks about strain information and what types of problems a new home grower might have. Please remember to press subscribe and enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Cheap Home Grow Podcast, a show for individuals that want to learn more about growing cannabis indoors. This is a podcast dedicated to helping you with your indoor growing adventure. You'll learn how to grow your own and not have to rely on others for your medicine. The Cheap Home Grow Podcast will also feature timely interviews with cannabis industry veterans shaping the culture and politics of cannabis. All right, here is your host, Shane McCormick, and the Cheap Home Grow Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Shane McCormick from the Cheap Home Grow Podcast, interviewing Mark from Green Carpet Growing. And today on the show, we are going to be talking about advice and recommendations for a first-time home grower. Mark, if you could you please introduce
Mike? Of course, Shane. Hi, everybody. I'm Mark Emmelman with Green Carpet Growing. I'm the founder, and Green Carpet Growing is a business that teaches people how to grow at home because people need help. And I should know that because I used to grow at home and fail miserably until I had personal instruction. And I realized personal instruction is the key to gardening cannabis. When you're left alone and you're going down the rabbit holes of what's online, it's just really hard to get started. So it was previous to California's big new cannabis law changes at the beginning of the year. So I had this idea to launch a company, and there wasn't anybody else out there offering this sort of thing. And it was just a matter of time, and the public absolutely loved us. After launching, we were on the news. We were on the front cover of the San Diego business section in the San Diego Union Tribune. We were on the nightly news. It went viral around the country. And it's just because we're doing something that no one else is doing, which is going into people's homes, training them, coaching them on cultivating high-quality cannabis, and having these grow classes to get people started. And getting started in your home is as simple as having a grow tent and starting with some clones or some seeds. And, you know, you're going to garden for about 3 or 4 months and end up with your flower that you can smoke, or you can use it to infuse into coconut oil and cook with it or make balms and salves. So in a nutshell, that's kind of what Green Carpet Growing is up to. And it's an honor to be on your show, Shane.
Well, thank you. Thanks for coming on, Mark. I really do appreciate it, man. Really do.
Well, in terms of questions, now I guess one of the biggest questions any new grower has is how much is this going to cost? So
that's a good question. That's a very common question. Let's talk about the money.
Sure, exactly, right.
So when people ask me how much does it cost to start a home grow, I ask them, how much do you spend on weed? I just want to know. I'm just curious because a lot of people don't realize they are spending so much freaking money on their cannabis. You know, here in San Diego, it's pretty common for a high-quality eighth to run you $60 or $70. Yes, you can get something cheaper, but you definitely get what you pay for. And all of the cannabis out there in the marketplace, you know, you really got to inspect and you got to ask questions. And anyway, Shane, help me with my, where was I going with this?
Right. You were going with cost and... Right.
I'm used to losing my train of thought in classes all the time, and I'm very comfortable asking the class, where was I? And they always tell me. They never let me down. So the cost...
It's all good, man. Don't worry about it.
The cost...
Right.
You know, they spend... Let's just say they spend $60 or $70 a week.
Okay.
At the end of the year, they actually spend around $4,000 or more.
Sure.
And that's when I tell them how much it costs to grow your own at home. And we start talking about what you need to set up. You need a grow tent. You need a grow light. You need some fans. You need some soil. You need some nutrients. And at the end, you kind of have this little grow kit has everything that you really need to garden cannabis well and successfully. So when I look at the prices, it's about $1,000 to $1,500 to get started with a simple home grow where you're actually growing like six plants or four plants. We're not talking about growing one plant on the patio. We're talking about trying to get a few to several ounces within a grow tent to, you know, meet your needs for your own cannabis supply.
Mm-hmm.
The price can vary, really. It really depends on the light and the tent. And what I can say about the tents are, do not go buy the cheapest grow tent you can find. Just hands down, it's going to have light leak. You're going to see the light leaking through the seam. Your zipper's going to break, and the tent will just deteriorate, and it's flimsy. It'll fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we're always steering people towards high-quality tents. It's worth that initial investment. It's not that much extra than the cheapies, but when you buy a good grow tent, it'll last. You won't have light leak, and your zippers won't break, and it's just you need that. So I can tell you right now, I'm into Gorilla Grow tents. And now they're known for very expensive tents, but they are learning that they have to be more competitive right now, and they are working on some of their prices. But the real money shot, the real value in their product, besides being good in all those other ways, is they add these little extension kits. So one of the biggest problems with grow tents and having a fan in there, and they're high-powered fans, they kind of look like little airplane engine jets, is some suction that happens. We have these 3x3 grow tents, and when the suction happens, you're losing some crucial, valuable real estate on the inside. You don't have that 3x3. It's just got schlumped in. So Gorilla Grow Tent has these little kits and little sturdy bars you can place around so it stops that suction. So that's key. That's crucial. You want to maximize that 3x3 space if that's the size tent you're starting with. So getting started, it's about quality equipment for quality cannabis. LED lights are the way to go for indoor growing with grow tents. You don't have to have air conditioning and humidifiers, and it doesn't create too much heat. It creates some, but not too much. And your electric bill doesn't go up much at all. It's pretty much negligible. So you can get started. Grow lights right now, you know, you can find them for real cheap, and you can find them for real expensive. We love platinum LED. We like Viper Spectra, and there's really a whole bunch of others that are good. Our brand, you know, we like to just recommend a few because most of the people coming to us are beginners, and they don't want to be told, all right, here's 10 options, now choose one. It's just like, all right, tell me about a couple and like, let's look at them and figure out what's what. The biggest thing with lights that everyone needs to know from the start, besides whether or not it's got good juice and it's actually going to grow you some nice flower. We can talk about that at another time.
Okay.
But LED lights, I mean, we could talk about that for hours.
Right.
But
yeah, absolutely.
The crucial thing is you look at the light specs and it will tell you how much core coverage this light will give you. And that's what you got to look at, the core coverage of this light. So if you have a 3x3 tent, you want a light that provides coverage for 3x3 space.
Okay.
If you get a light that's smaller and it only covers 1.5x3, then you could still grow. Your just buds are not going to be as big and dense.
Right.
So starting off on the right foot with the right light and a good tent is really important. And definitely fans. You got to have your fans in place. You can go that extra mile and have an exhaust with ducting pulling outside fresh air into your grow tent. That is the bee's knees. That's the best ideal situation, but it's not always practical for people, and it's not a requirement. So if you have a grow tent in a part of the house where you can't bring some fresh air in, no worries. You can still make it work. You can still grow quality cannabis at home.
Okay. All right. Fair enough there, Mark. Now let's, I don't know, I guess let's switch gears a little bit here. You know, you talked about the actual setup of a grow tent a little bit, but I mean, you know, in terms of a new grower, in terms of a brand new grower, what are some, you know, what are some questions, concerns, and I guess, you know, really some problems, I guess people might run into when they are just starting off growing their own?
Sure. Let's see. I get lots of questions from new growers all the time. One of the most common questions will be, should I grow from seed or should I grow from clone?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this is a hot topic. There are, here in San Diego and in California, there are clones for sale, nurseries, where you're either getting your clone at a medical marijuana shop or you're getting it delivered from a black market delivery service. Your friends have clones. Anyway, clones is big, but seeds are kind of becoming the more popular route, and that's simply because of pest control. There's so many damn spider mites and aphids and bugs and critters here in San Diego and all over anywhere. You know, it's pest management is the hardest thing in cannabis cultivation, hands down. And that is another show for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So because pest management is a huge problem, we love getting people started so that they'll be successful. And right now we're recommending you start with seeds from Humboldt Seed Company. These seeds are available at Urban Leaf, the dispensary in San Diego. They're award-winning genetics. They have great scientific information about their strain, from reliably how much THC you're going to get, reliably how much CBD you're going to get, reliably how long it takes to flower. And it also speaks to the cannabinoids and the terpene profile. So, I mean, it just tells you everything. So starting the seed is really important, I believe, for new beginners, because pest management is such a pain in the butt. Why start with some potential pests when you can start from seed in your home and just kind of eliminate that potential thing? However, clones are, you know, it looks like you get a head start, but, you know, if you're going to garden, don't be looking to cut corners.
Right.
Always take your time. Always be patient. Think things through. Have a strategy. Have a plan. And kind of know what you're doing and know why. And finding the right strain is something we love talking about with new growers, new gardeners.
Right.
Finding
right.
the strain that's going to help them the most, not what's the biggest, but what is going to help their condition. Maybe they need an appetite stimulant. Maybe they need, they don't want to eat, so they're trying to go on a diet, or maybe they have trouble sleeping. And there's strains for all of these situations, and Humboldt Seed Company talks about these things within their catalog of seeds. So it's just very educational to go this route.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, let's explore that topic a little bit more. And I know, or I'm assuming that you're probably not a doctor. Right. But I mean, can you go a little bit deeper there, and perhaps you can talk about, I guess, what strains are good for, you know, sleep, or for your, I guess, for a person's ability, you know, not to fall asleep, or say like
absolutely,
say
like
back
I love
pain.
Talking about the strains.
You know, right? Yeah. Let's go a little bit deeper there.
And you know, I'm gathering this information from Humboldt Seed Company, and they identify the symptoms that people are finding relief from with their various strains, and telling you whether it's good for daytime or nighttime.
Okay.
So appetite stimulation, believe it or not, the Girl Scout Cookies legendary strain is known for helping people with appetite stimulation. It's also a good one for anxiety, depression, and pain. It's definitely a very potent strain, upwards of 28% THC.
Mm-hmm.
And it's indica dominant. So everyone's heard of Girl Scout Cookies, but did you know that it's helping with these issues? Maybe not. Well, now you do, and maybe you want to grow some because you'd like some help with sleeping.
Right.
On the opposite side of the spectrum would be like a sativa, like Dream Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like a daytime energy producing, but it's also good for anxiety. It's also good for muscle spasms.
Okay. And, wow. Any
it's like a light energetic high.
Okay. Yeah, like a light. All right. Yeah. That's okay. That's
now, this one's going to blow your mind.
Okay.
Sexual stimulation.
What? sexual stimulation? Really?
I know you're going to take notes on this one. Purple panty dropper.
Purple panty dropper. Wow. That's, yes. I've never heard about that one, actually. That is a good one.
Humble Tees has it. Yep.
Purple panty dropper. What? You know, I mean, just, I guess.
Aphrodisiac smoke right there for you.
All right. Yeah. What are the.
Have you ever had someone mention to you, oh, I had this strain and it made me so horny? I've heard it before.
Yes, I have, actually. Yes, I
have a problem in that department, so I didn't need to pick up this strain. In fact, right. This strain would get me in trouble, so I avoided it at all costs.
Sure.
But for some people, they might need it.
Right, yeah, okay. Well, I mean, not that my listeners actually care about me, but just for the record, I'm the type of guy that does not need that type of strain.
For the record. There's another really cool strain that people mm-hmm. may or may not be familiar with. It's the Humboldt Sour Diesel.
Okay.
And if you want a strain that kind of really just gets your creativity going, this is that high-functional cerebral strain.
Really?
Inspirational and pretty easy to grow. That's another thing about Humboldt Seeds is they let you know, like, this is going to be an easier strain to grow. And then they'll let you know if it's a little bit harder.
All right. Hey, Mark, I mean, let me ask him. Are you affiliated with Humboldt Strains
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. I mean, I found them. I'm out there in the marketplace looking mm-hmm. for high-quality seeds right. and a company that communicates things that I feel are important. And they are communicating about the things that I feel are important, the medical benefits. It's not just about what does it smell like and is it a big producer.
Right,
sure, those are important, but the medical side is also really important.
Sure. Oh yeah, no, and I've explored that in my past shows. As I mentioned off air, I interviewed the team doctor for the Chicago White Sox and the Chicago Bulls at the beginning of the year. I spoke with the head researcher from Americans for Safe Access about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get high and that's important, but I mean, I'm coming at this, you know, from a position of wanting to learn something new, but you know, I think there's so much potential out there for cannabis and what it can do on the medicinal side that, you know, we haven't even touched the surface on. So, you know, I just think there is a lot more out there, really.
One of the things that we found is people wanting to learn to grow don't necessarily want to smoke it. They want to cook with it and they want to make topicals.
Sure. Exactly.
And it's always very medicinally, they're very medicinally motivated.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, we've covered, well, I mean, what are some of the, what are some problems that, or some of the challenges that people have when, or, you know, I guess, what are they, I guess, most concerned about when just starting off? I mean, what is one thing they have to try and, I guess, fight back towards?
I would say the number one thing is just a little bit of fear and worry that they're going to end up making a mistake and that they're not going to get that high-quality cannabis that they want at the end. You could say that they're afraid of failure. Right. And that's, I mean, we work out our classes on just getting people to be relaxed and lighthearted about cannabis cultivation. There's so much like, oh, you better do it this way. You better do it that way. If you don't do it our way, blah, 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 blah. Or we're just like, we teach beginners how to get started. We put them on the right track. We keep them on the straight and narrow. And we tell them there is a huge world of cannabis cultivation out there. And there is an art to cultivation. There's so much for people to learn about the different styles. But when you're a new beginner, you just need to be told kind of what to do and how to get it done and just start learning. There's so much with cannabis cultivation that is, let's see, that hot topic, you know, causes controversy. So we try to limit and de-stress people and let them know even it's okay if you're going to, you know, have a problem. If there are pests, that's not a problem. Like, just relax and let's talk about it and we'll help you fix it. I mean, if you have a home grow problem, then there's probably a good home grow solution. And we just really pride ourselves in making people feel comfortable, and it's okay to make mistakes, and let's not be so rigid when it comes to growing. Like, because online, there tends to be some very matter-of-fact folks, and if it's not done their way, then it's not the right way. And this is a plant we're talking about, and there's just so many right ways to go about it. It's just, how do you help a beginner? How do you help someone brand new, fresh start? Maybe they don't have a green thumb. Maybe they grew up in the city and they never grew anything. You're just starting from scratch. But we also reach people that grew up around, you know, farming and gardening and have a green thumb and still want to take a class because they know that the cultivation side of cannabis requires so much meticulous care. And it really does. You got to be a little bit meticulous with your plants. And I'm talking about how you feed them, how often you check on them. I think a lot of people fear the long-term commitment of the project. Because we tell them it's going to be 8 weeks to veg on average, 8 weeks to flower on average. And sometimes that figure scares them. Right. But then on the same hand, we tell them, you know, we also find out in the beginning, like, how much cannabis do you want to grow?
Right.
And with one tent, you can cultivate and grow and harvest every 4 months. If you have two tents, well, then you're going to be able to have a harvest every 2 months.
Right.
And then when you're really advanced and you want to harvest every month or even less, there's actually ways you can quite simply achieve that.
Hmm.
Just about starting off with the right system and the right process and knowing your goals.
Right. Well, if somebody, you know, comes walking in and they say, hey, listen, I've never grown anything in my life. I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. What goals would you set for that individual that quite literally knows nothing?
First thing we'd like to do is give them the full overview of here's what you do in week one. Here's what you do in week two, all the way through the end. We look at everything that's important during that week of cultivation. And, you know, we tell them, all right, this is the flowering week, and this is the week where we're going to start defoliating. This is, you know, veg week four, and we're going to be doing some plant stress training. We're going to be doing some topping. We might be doing some thinning and pinching. And these are all things you do just to make a bigger, bushier plant.
Okay. All right. Fair enough, Mark. I'll tell you what. Is there any questions here that I'm missing? Do you want to make any?
Oh yeah, let me tell you more about. So we get people started with the full overview. Take the class, learn about growing at home, see our home grows, and we bring people into our homes and they see our home grows and they see that it's not so scary, and that you can keep, you know, a nice, vibrant little garden inside for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then, what we find is people really appreciate having someone help them set up the tent, because literally setting up the tent is a project, putting the fans in, hanging the lights, you know, looking at the distance from the lights to the plant is one thing that you're always going to be looking at. That's why we don't recommend growing dissimilar strains. You don't want to grow a short, bushy indica next to a tall, stretching sativa, because the lighting, you know, that sativa might need the light to go higher, but that indica needs the light to come down. So that's pretty much why you grow similar strains, and you try to keep an even canopy at the top.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then we are available to them. We're, you know, whether our client needs us to look at some pictures and share some feedback, or get on the phone, or do FaceTime, or have us come back to their home and do some training, you know, we're just there. So different people have different levels of comfortability growing cannabis. A lot of people second guess everything. I mean, I've seen some very, very smart people come through our training sessions that, you know, are attorneys and very well-to-do. Mm-hmm. And they take the growing cannabis so seriously, and they constantly need reminders about, let's just say, the importance of pHing the water. pHing the water is what we do because cannabis is sensitive to water, and we want to make sure that we don't see any pH burn on plants. So we bring it down to like a 6.3, 6.8, basically yellow-green color. But, you know, just having them practice that two or three times, people come back to us for little training sessions in our home grow, or we go to their home grow and pitch in wherever they need help. A lot of times people are growing with one tent, and all they want to do is get that second tent going, because one harvest every 4 months, all of a sudden they're like, well, this is not too hard. And when you add a second tent, it's really just about having your flowering tent and your veg tent. You got your veg tent with a mom in there, and that mom plant keeps on feeding your flowering plant. So as soon as you pull those flower babies out, you're just reaching back into your veg mom tent, pulling out those babies you've been vegging, and sticking them right into flower right away.
Sure. Yeah, when you said that you go to people's houses, do you make cannabis house calls?
We sure do. We sure do. That's literally one of the core components of what we do, is our classes and our in-home personal instruction. We have clients calling us from around the country, around the world. We don't travel outside of California, but we welcome people to come here for training programs and things like that. It may change in the future, but currently, we get found on the internet for all kinds of unique keyword searches where people are looking for help. They want to learn how to grow. They want to fix their grow. And we had someone just reach out to us who has grown at home three times in a row unsuccessfully, and that means their harvest was just ruined. They got pests. They got bud rot. They got powdery mildew, all these little things that happen when you don't know what you're doing. And, of course, he bought all the equipment and just started growing just without anyone really guiding him.
Right.
And that's where we help people. It's just, it doesn't have to be hard. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to waste money. And it's just such an economical decision to invest a little bit into some help, because cannabis cultivation education is not normal. People don't know how to grow around the country, around the world. It's not something that's been part of normal culture, and we want to make it normal. So our classes are being opened up to be online. So anybody will very soon be able to go to greencarpetgrowing.com and see that we have some online classes available, and people can actually learn by donation. So we'll just offer them up as a give what you can, make a love donation, but here's a curriculum for how to get started to grow at home with a grow tent, and this is how you can get started, and we'll keep you on the right track.
Well, does that relate to your charity at all, or is that completely separate?
Yeah, we are starting our nonprofit branch of Green Carpet Growing. We're going to be calling it Grow Yourself. We may have to add another word to it if the name is already taken, but I've got the domain name, grow-yourself.org. There's nothing there yet, but I have it.
Okay.
And the premise of the nonprofit is really to inspire, educate, empower the world to grow. And that's going to happen through online donation-based grow classes, and then providing some personal instruction, either in person or online. And the nonprofit started because I realized there's a market for people that can afford a service where people are learning to grow, but there's also a lot of people out there that either can't afford it, or they weren't interested enough to spend $75 to go to a 3.5-hour class, get a curriculum, and it'll tell them what they need to do, what they need to buy, how to get started and set up. So to make it more out, like, I want to get it out there. I want people to know how to grow, and then not just for themselves, but for their family or for their friends. My board members that have signed up to be the founding board members of our nonprofit are not smokers themselves, but cannabis has been and is being used medicinally in their family. So it means a lot to them that people have access. And so that's why we're starting the nonprofit. So people have access, and that we can literally teach the world to grow before it's completely corporatized and, God forbid, ever before there's just government weed. where the federal government decides to legalize it and completely control it, which could be a conspiracy theory, but bottom line is people have to know how to grow cannabis. It's medicinal. It's curative. And do it yourself. Why not? You can grow it at home. It's cheaper. You know, in Chile and Brazil and Uruguay, there's a homegrown market there that's growing and thriving. There's grow stores on the corners. And that's because people don't have a lot of resources, and you can grow it at home. But they make it happen. They make it work. So many reasons we started this charity. We'll be also doing conferences, seminars, and retreats focused on not only growing cannabis, but also growing yourself. So there's this huge personal growth and development component of it, where we already have nurses and educators and doctors that are ready to teach at these retreats to help people from around the world come to California, learn about cannabis, get engaged, find out all about the modes of ingestion, find out about proper dosing, find out about making these salves at home and doing it yourself. And hopefully this is the spark of a homegrown movement.
All right, Mark. Well, you know, listen, man, I really do appreciate you coming on the show and, you know, talking about, you know, beginner, I guess, tips and tricks and telling everybody about your
I guess I didn't give you too many tips and tricks, but cool. These are definitely the things that – these are the conversations that we have with new beginners and people getting started. They want to talk about the money. What does it cost to get started? And then, of course, they learn about what they're actually spending on cannabis already. And then it becomes a no-brainer. We talk about what they need to get set up. Anybody can email me for a list of what I recommend. We recommend all the time. I don't hold that hostage. That information is available. So even if you take our curriculum, you don't even have to take a class. We're just happy to share it with people to get them started. And then they can start asking questions. Curiosity is great.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Mark. Well, I mean, listen, man, like what I was saying, I do appreciate you coming on the show, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Absolutely, Shane. Thank you for all you do in curating education about cannabis. What you do is really awesome and unique, and I look forward to hopefully coming back on the show again sometime and talk about pest management. Maybe talk about Sea of Green or some plant stress training, things you do to make your plant as big as you can.
Absolutely.
All right, Shane. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to my podcast with Mark. You can check him out on Instagram at Green Carpet Growing and also greencarpetgrowing.com. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and please remember to press the subscribe button. You can visit cheaphomegrow.com/episode27 to get show highlights. And please remember to sign up for my email list. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Cheap Home Grow podcast. We do our best to bring you quality content. Let's grow together. Please hit the subscribe button and take time to share this podcast with a friend. Visit cheaphomegrow.com for our database of interviews and information. Until next time, be safe and grow easy.